up.
What?
It's noon already. Wake up.
I can't. I didn't sleep much last night.
Why?
I was watching reruns of Project Runway.
Bright lights from electronics block your body's production of melatonin. Keep your sleep area for just that. Sleep. Going screenless at night can help you sleep better, longer. Adults need 7 to 9 hours every night. Do you get it?
And good afternoon. It's 4 o'clock. Thanks for tuning in to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are located here in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. This is Finding a Voice, a spoken word program airing here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. And coming up on the show today, in the first hour, from the May 26th and third installment of a newer poetry music series envisioned and organized by Wanda Paramsma called Driftline, you'll hear two featured poets in the poetry portion of that event with readings by Chris Turnbull and Phil Hall. The event was held at Musiki. And in the second hour, you'll hear the musical portion of that event with a trio calling themselves Foster, Shea, and Sudak, and it's made up of Christina Foster, Savannah Shea, and Anna Sudak performing both original works and covers. So that's coming up in the second hour. Just my usual start of the hour announcement, and it's occasionally that some poetry, spoken word, and music played on this show may contain strong language, but it's all played in its entirety with content unedited under the creative integrity of both the author and the piece. So here we go again from the May 26th installment of a new, it started in February, I believe, of this year. So it's quite new. New poetry music series. Again, this is the third installment of it. It was and is envisioned and organized by Wanda Paramsma. It's called Driftline. And you're going to hear in this hour the two featured poets in the poetry portion of that event that evening. Up first, you'll hear Chris Turnbull and then Phil Hall. And it was emceed that evening as well by Joshua Brennan. Let's go ahead and pull this back in.
Hi, everyone. Good evening and welcome. My name's Wanda, and I'm happy to have you all here for the third Driftline series event. We're happy to be back at Musiki and today on the lovely patio. This is our first time out here, so this is wonderful. And I think it's going to be a wonderful night. I'm really glad that Phil Hall is here and to read from his new books, and also poet Chris Turnbull is also here. And the trio Foster, Shea, and Sudak, who I'm really excited to listen to this evening as well. So exciting. So it is a little bit of a tricky dance organizing these events, making sure all the various pieces come together. I started the Driftline series rather impulsively and not exactly knowing what I was getting myself into, but here we are, and I'm really grateful for all the support and encouragement I've received, and to all of you for coming out, because I think this is really important. It's important for the artistic community in Kingston and the area to have these kinds of events, and so thank you for being here. I'd like to thank Musiki and Harvey, the manager in particular, for having us and for welcoming us back after the winter. We were here in February. Also, thank you to Vince Perez, who's not here, but he does all the graphics and creates the posters for these events, and he does a wonderful job. And to my friend and fellow writer Joshua Brennan, he's our MC for these events, so I thank him as well. And I was going to thank Novel Idea, but they're actually not here selling books, but they generally are here to sell books. But the poets are selling their own books this evening, so they are over there, and Joshua will tell you more about that as well. But before we begin, I would like to acknowledge that we are on traditional Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee territory. To acknowledge this traditional territory is to recognize its longer history, one predating the establishment of the earliest European colonies. It is also to acknowledge this territory's significance for the indigenous peoples who lived and continue to live upon it, and whose practices and spiritualities were tied to the land and continue to develop in relationship to the territory and its other inhabitants today. I think the arts have always provided a forum for reflection and discussion of injustices and systems of oppression, and it is our intention to uphold that with the Driftline series and bring a diversity of voices, including Indigenous ones, to the series, and that we create an open and inclusive atmosphere where all feel they can bring their stories and histories forward and all feel comfortable attending these events. Thank you very much, and I'm going to pass things over to Joshua, who will introduce our first poet. And we're going to start with poets, and then we'll have music afterwards. Thanks.
Oh, I think that's fantastic. Perfect. Good evening, everyone. So as mentioned, my name is Joshua Brennan. I'm happy to see you all here. We've got a great crowd. It's wonderful to see so many people can come out and attend the event. And no doubt, we've got lots of great poetry and music ahead of us. So just a few items or a few things to consider. I guess as most of you probably have advice similar to this, if you could perhaps turn it off, silence it, just so it's not going to disrupt the poets or any of the music, that would be very much appreciated. Also, to take into consideration, as Wanda mentioned, this event takes a fair bit of coordinating, and there's been, you know, a lot of different moving parts and moving pieces. You don't have to, but in the event that a $5 bill or a $10 bill made its way into this box here, that would really help the event and help put on future events, as well as just supporting the artists that you're going to see here tonight. So if you have a 5 or 10 that might escape your wallet and make its way into that box, that would really help everyone. Additionally, as Wanda mentioned, we do have books over here on the bar for sale. And in conferring with Phil Hall beforehand, he informed me that the white books are $20 a piece, and the last remaining copy of A Festschrift for Phil Hall is $30. And as such, it's cash only for the books this evening. But if you are looking to support more events like this, you can speak with Wanda after the event or in the intermission. There is also the option for e-transfer, just if you want to give a little bit and help us continue with all these wonderful events. And now we'll settle in and hear some poetry from Chris Turnbull. Chris has come from Kempville this evening, all the way from Kempville. We certainly appreciate it. She is the author of Cypher by through Beautiful Outlaw Press in 2024, Untitled and Own with Q Books, a collection of work by Turnbull, A. Rawlings, and Heather Hermant, respectively, and Continua through Chaudière Books and Invisible Publishing. As well, a video poem from a section of Cypher is online at Moving Poems. She also wrote Undertones 1 through 21 via Low Frequency Press in collaboration with Portuguese text artist Bruno Neva. Additional writing, collaborations, and installations are in print, online, and within landscapes. She curates a foot press, Route, or for some of us, Route, whereby poetry can be found on trails at www.etour.wordpress.com. My very great pleasure to welcome Chris Turnbull to the stage.
Thank you. I brought the birds.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Thanks everyone for coming and for the intro, Wanda and Joshua. Cypher emerged out of thinking about lingering in the sense of obviously time, but just kind of taking your time. So it was as a concept and an actualization. And it also emerged from, I spent a lot of time outside. So it spent sort of thinking about language and how we use homonyms now to, in the virtual world that come from the natural world. And it also came from thinking about love. So I'm not going to say this is a love poem because it's not really my style, but it is a love poem, but not human to human. And if you think of it in that way, it's a catastrophic love poem, but you're kind of seeing it through a Necker cube. So it starts with an epigraph. Imagine yourself in a library about a decade ago, and you're browsing for books, and you know, you're kind of looking around, and there's a bunch of kids at a computer terminal or two computer terminals or however many there are, and their voices are just at that level above quiet, and they're fascinating because of what they're talking about. And so you stop and you get out a piece of paper and you start writing down their entire conversation, and they don't even notice. And then you get home and you distill it into a dialogue. And that's the epigraph. And I'll start with it. And it starts overheard. I am completely lost. I don't know. Oh my God, it's Apex Horse. He jumps so high. Don't worry, I can find you. Wait. Bard cannot be allowed to roam free. Can you get a honey nest with a piston? It's also divided into a section, candid, contrite, and cipher, and there it's one long serial poem, but I divided it with images. So I'll start with candid. One, fungus, slick, indeliquescence, the kids refuse the forest. There are notes excusing them. Letters and scripts about odor, uncontrollable decay, about risk, unforeseen conditions, notes unraveling, unfettered, uncoiled, unruly, unfiltered, revelations. Among jagged, moist sounds without name within listening range, of hearts and throats undiagnosed or radically imagined as something else, something self. Hyperreal. The kids refuse the bus for it's gnarly with city. The city is fluorescent. The kids know shadows for location and direction, know to rely on shapes. The kids refuse. Notes, predictions, excuse them. They need an ocean holiday. The odor is unforgivable. The roads are unsafe. There are no wild animals. The buildings leak tangents. The forest is beside itself. They contract ear infections. The terrain glitches. The feathers fall on source. The air is unfashionable, the Velcro host spurs, the pigeons are trouble, the typography lacks lichen. All kids at once go where there are no trees. Waylight, unresistant, forget the shadows as locators. Forest is far, between, over branches among leaves pieced, far below, sunk or covered. Their floating bodies still, movement, embracing permanence, amnesia. Kid comes upon some words, says, where are the coordinates? See this indent? Ice on the river of irregular circularity is the pattern on a flat road in a snow squall. The pattern on a polyester blend dress bought in a reused store called Florida. Perhaps the pattern of pores on skin or the shape of lips on glass. A confident performance of what is not the woods. The kids gasp, they shift their hip flexors, applaud. A brilliant performance of a floating balloon disperse. Two, cross-legged on a fluvial scar, lopsided hut, mid-lake, tree-lined shore, propelled by wind, slope, kid. Looks at the lake, how the clouds take it in, lake, absorbed, can touch one, push it. Careful ripples that distort looking. The clouds, the lake, reforming surfaces, kid looks at that. Considers other forms of sense and evidence. The lake, remnant, scar, is shallow, swings toward edge knot. Kinetics of form, ebb terrain, includes the sodden, the parched, the reminiscent. After
After some while, Kid tugs out a diagram, so out of place, discovered in clear plastic wedged among the half-exposed roots of a half-fallen, full-of-holes white cedar and a granite boulder. Throws a slow shed. There is nobody else. Nothing is given. Kid sees no use for it. Markings, conditional on a fold, a certain way. Tears it. Keeps the bag. It's handy for small finds, shards, knots, flunked objects, their functions, conundrums, ditto, their encasing language, part song, part formed, once practical symbioses, tagless reference, detached, impossible to follow, fallen out of use, or unrecorded to begin with. Threshold this, tenuous nuance, obliviated for template, what is form? These, if faux chronologies monitored, time spent flitting access as subject, what if what is omitted or augmented is precision, the exact what, instead relevance encapsulated to save time, compels reductions in now, when, then, compression generated for this instant on instant, micromeasures split into incessant gatherings of unrelated bits of information, torrents, mushrooming and internow, jump, 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 so alive, so alive, so alive, right? Now is now redundant then. Passing days and skins, codes, binaries, splintered, fleeting dramas of beetles, fetishes, catalogs, memes, drones, moguls, dictators, actors and spies of twine and flocks, of metropolis and taxes, of opinion pimps and twittering diktats, of us tube and ittering, so alive. Empty megs, dregs and stains, intact and rings, low insistent hum, feed constant heart surge, so alive. Might miss something, what just happened, who killed the Wi-Fi? Stale air and a bit of static reverb, curtains close, what to do, strange thought. Best not ask. 4. Kid traces a fissure beyond body into lake, sees needles, berries, insects, desiccated, and lichen, stones collected under an erratic and rolls that way, takes 3 flatter ones to skip. There is a tang to the stones. Soon, Kid leans in, again, scoops all stones from under that erratic, pulls them with a curved arm toward, skips rocks. Wonders if the others are, wonders what is known, what is spoken for, patterned, stored. If there is language to describe this perforated and untimely present, or what slang mechanism might authenticate this present, nebulous landscape. The forest transposed, aversion password protected. Kid stays put, rain in the cloud for sure, inputs a rainbow event, fashions a specific syntax to execute a quiesce operation for system maintenance. Contrite. 1. Guess a spokesperson of it all, because we flicker and garbled invisible streams are licked, brilliant. Relations matter, as if we stream or lope straight into a curator poised above, a fickle surface just emerging and looking over. Please, no interviews. Corollary, abrupt cessation of immunities, subsidence flooding, unlanded, no versions, at most an intermittent relay or affirming fluctuation, a sort of sting in the head too at times, which... Duplication is a dream, the forest wall lingering as waves tilt embodied amplitude. An object or species of life found floating, attachment a kind of relic, a kind of temporary surrounding a universal veil. The lopsided nature of this hut, the useless, the certain atmosphere, bright day, continuities flummoxed, appear like owls submerged in water. 2. As if, from a found collection, one of us came upon an inserted picture. We read it closely, pored over it, breathed on it, passed it around. Someone whispered, "Is it original? Is it true?" An arid breeze drifted spores into dubious creases, water-stained furrows, and we watched the effects of iteration, fibers tweaked by process, saturated, warped, caught under fingernails. The collection drifted apart. It had no bearing on its own. We is always exaggerated. Three. Is it important that the facts line up? That there are facts, that the conclusions are evident, for veracity, that there is nothing underfoot, that transmission is crystal. Curator. Sometimes, accessing a loose memory, we'd ask each other the time. This was a gangly mess. It invoked sensory limitations that affected our descriptions of our habitats. Forest, ocean, prairie, alpine desert, jungle, city, motherboard, campfire, ring, lagoon. Assuming land, a day the waste field was barred shut, the wooden shutters sealed from the inside. The curator claimed terror. Loosed, we employed seasonal fracassee, named prints into sounds, cream crackle, kick hard, mad dash, out of dodge, helter-skelter, wishy-washy, humdrum. Enclosed, we sunk, caused brief explosions of sediment, wanted to remain at bottom, but it was incompatible. At surface, mergansers disrupted planes, moved across, upward, slightly water-stained, faded, the swamp underfoot, ripped a corner. We made efforts to recognize shapes. Islet, inlet, peninsula, scapula, fin, ribcage, tiller, red wind, wave. Kicked stuff and laughed hard as our feet pushed through refuge. As said, we gather, guided by a curator of sorts. Seems real enough. Gives us a hum in our geologies, an epigenetic sort of pinch. We live in curious times. Cipher. 1. This interval is hypothetical. The curator reports rain, blurred cursive owls, incomplete, dark, petrels, bird bone shelf, meticulous, dispatches. Updates on the servers, plans to see tulip frogs, unsure, upgrade city like mad, muttering, break for sporadic scenery and lolling, rooftop. Heels drum corrugated metal, we grief the curator, racked by immense joy. The curator releases spring peepers. Whose city, whose city, whose city? Rock doves shuffle, cross flight, spawn, sun adds complexities, surface distresses optics. When we return, one of us said, it is for sound, which does not vanish as merge amplified frequencies. We emit, attune, pulse, flesh, wirings, wrinkles, enact, seek neural twining, memory leaks, recognition. Once we are apart once more, we return for voice, want reward, wonder, omen, inevitable rush to be found, half-formed, emerging, unscripted in flickers. 2. Dear interpreters, be soft, imagine unaugmented selves, self, even ways, light. Reinvent, reimagine from scratch, skin, oracles, delineate vestigial retentions, fossils insubstantial, pace as if anticipating inhale on stretching depth, propelled, struggling to break surface, crust, then again. Wander, intact in layers of sensory apparatus, wearable exoskeleton, gloves and visor, wired, forest, lagoon, city, brain, desert, screenings, call it a day. Flex the lens, oracle, servers, ecosystems in real-time exposures, non-instrument, open ocean, navigation, say cyber canoe, data strands. Eclogue, flat wooden bridge near a stream. Is there song? Illusion with potencies of love. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris. I'm always intrigued and delighted when I hear someone using words like epigenetic and vestigial. That was great. That was Chris Turnbull, everyone. And just before I announce the next poet, I will just say, you know, we're all here at Musiki this evening. And I have it on good information from the folks here that we do have the Brock Street Block Party coming up. And they also induced me to mention that there is live music every night here at Musiki. So if you are in this area If you enjoy live music, yeah, maybe we'll just have a round for the folks at Musiki here. So our next poet, in certain circles, probably needs no introduction, but I was a bit embarrassed. I had offered him a pen beforehand, not knowing it was empty. So that was a bit of a bad reintroduction, but Phil Hall has published many books and chapbooks of poetry. He's won the Governor General's Literary Award and Ontario's Trillium Book Award, and has twice been nominated for the Griffin Poetry Prize. A celebration of his work has just been published, a festschrift for Phil Hall, the large black book you see there on the bar. And his new book of poetry, also just out, is called Vejo's Marrow. He has served as writer-in-residence at many Canadian institutions, not the least of which was Queen's University, as well as the University of New Brunswick and the Pierre Burton House in the Yukon. He lives near Perth, Ontario. Without further delay, please allow me to welcome Phil Hall.
For me, the robins is the best call. Amateur, less honed, melodious than the orioles. A homemade instrument of limestone and graveyard moss, a little maple syrup, the sun just clear of the swamp. The band hasn't come on stage yet. Robin alone, tuning up the township. Hey. The robin gets a clap. Isn't it great to be read to? After you've grown up? And especially to sit outside and be read to? So in that sense, it doesn't matter what I say. A little transtromer goes partway with me, then turns back, stepping where it stepped before. Each word and each letter alone. From here we can't see the canal that cuts through the fields, then through the marshes to the ocean. So the sailboats heading in the canal each evening after a day on the ocean seem an apparition only of ghost-like though colorful sails passing inexplicably through the dark now fields. Each word alone, each letter in each word alone. I didn't talk to anyone at the party. I want to write, but out comes foam, says Vallejo. I want to write, but out comes form. Rent the house out, a sonnet says, don't live in it. But I need to live in the cheap foam words spew. Nothing is mine except disarray and its storage locker. When I was young, Canada did not exist for us. I see Wilfred Hall chewing his pipe in that log shambles, rented for almost nothing, overrun by rabbits and sinking into a back field where Lizzie, an old British woman, bitter as spit, sits wishing him dead. Above her is a stained print of The Thin Red Line by Robert Gibb. That white horse bows before the Scottish Highland Regiment at the Battle of Balaclava in the Crimean War, October 25th, 1854. I loved it. I had no taste. Beside Lizzie sits silent Lil. Something's wrong with Lil, and she is pregnant by my Uncle Fred, hiding it, or she doesn't know what is happening to her. My grandfather drank, my uncle drank. They were no good, but even so, that I was taught to entertain townspeople and landlords with illusion or cornpone stinks. Now when I write my narluflage, Canada grabs its whiteout. It has no tradition except imitation. My words have no audience or family, no home or shame. I used to think I was speaking for the poor or to them, but what I write is incomprehensible, deflective, selfish. I jerk, startle, am imitative. I talk to words themselves. My friends write like my enemies. They all agree writing matters. And it is so lovely in state at its crocheted podium. If the poetry I read is great poetry like Vallejo's, it is so wide I can hardly stand it a few lines at a time. I can only stand the open mic if what is shouted there to the empty theater is naive or goofy. Who I can't stand most are the middle road poets. They pretend innovation and equivocate butchery to get an A. One sticks her name over the name of a real poet. One panders a nomination into a professorship. The spiders who work at night between our basil plants catch first light in their relentless, swaying lines. Yeah. I meant to tell you, an extra patch has appeared on our crazy quilt over the window facing the lake. I didn't see it at first, but the quilt is old and faded, while the extra patch is brighter, so it stands out. I noticed it a few days after a dream I had about you and I in school together on the Scotch line. You and I and that kid named Marcelles. You weren't you. You were the teacher, Mrs. Knox. But I knew it was you by your voice. Marcelles, come up and write the answer on the board, please. And we knew he couldn't. You were always kind to Marcelles, and I wasn't. None of us were, except you. So you get to be Mrs. Knox. What has been added to my quilt is a patch of the blue plaid shirt Marcelles always wore. He seemed to only have the one shirt, and now I have a piece of it. He couldn't stand and hold the chalk without it breaking against the board, but there was nowhere else for him to go to school than to our one-room country school, and we teased him. As Mrs. Knox, you picked up the bits of chalk from the floor, then helped Marcelles as he grinned apologetically to return to his seat in the front row. In my dream, suddenly all of us wore the same blue plaid shirt, like a uniform, and you wore a blue plaid dress. From a box in Mrs. Knox's desk, you distributed to each of us a long, fresh stick of white chalk. And on your count, one, two, three, we all, Marcelles too, broke our piece of chalk at the same time, as if making music. There is always a faint spray of powder flying when chalk breaks. Nothing had been written, and the sound we made was so clean. Mm. I liked to watch her in the garden before she knew I was there, and before she knew she was ill. Her hands deep, fussing at bulbs. Her boots all in, snort, snort, mud caked. Already, her spleen corrupted. Her spleen that I couldn't have pointed to on a chart, but now can. My friend Mick Burrs has died. Stephen Michael Burzynski, a delicate bit of gristle. He would not fight a war. For years, his homemade chapbooks were local produce at the farmer's market in Yorkton, Saskatchewan. His music defied Stalin, the scourge of his ancestors. I always felt that I should apologize to Mick for not being as eccentric as he was. He forgave us all our compromises. He was an infrequent and then exhausting letter writer. He was a master dreamer. I have a strong urge to write by stepping over my urge to write into aimless gibberish, which seems more accurately me every day. The saints are gone, while sanctimonious allure rallies and carries a perfunctory lamp. Huh. If a shallow dong course might cheese coral, talk sap's accurate curse can't say no. Huh. A spine-ripe calla texture buys and weeps nuts in circles. I would invite words past communication, past sentiment, into absurd and common spectacle. Milk at the door, fiddle in the sky, glass doorknob, white rose, a war marble in a knothole. Huh. I dreamt that I was making a series of little weekly videos called Phil Hangs Weird Things on the Line. I would select fetish items from my collection, baubles, trinkets, pamphlets, toys, damaged books, cowbells, puppets, found photos, etc. I would talk about each item as I pinned it to our clothesline and pushed it with the others out over the yard. The last shot in each video would be of that week's weird items all hanging in a line as if to dry. A sentence so garbled and impromptu it shone. I should make that. Those who have not had to achieve their sanity or balance have a slacker appreciation of the ability to do normal tasks. Sober, I watch with affection my daily competence, making a sandwich or bringing in wood. My ability has a rough, brazen potential to it, like a pencil sharpened with a jackknife, not in a sharpener. The bared stub licked before it begins, and writing about the beauty of incompetence is surprised by its own audacity. Forego sharply observed. Those who talk of making essence often mean sense. To be read by kings, a story must play the fool. Old textbooks kept like scrap iron. Fire has become weight. A paperback Western hides its centaur in rustification. That novella about the poor was written after a banquet. A biography by setting the table, thinks it has served food. When real went, out came total. It wasn't pretty. If you are plugging something in, you have a tail. If you are pouring something, you have a plume and a mating call. If you read widely enough, you have no natural predators. In writing workshops, she wanted to know what the opposite of whittle was. Some said grow, some said growl. One said, wait, that's who she sat longest with. Nothing that exists cares about understanding except the bad poet. Yeah. Suzette calls while Anne is in town, thinks I'm Anne, says hi, Anne. That cardinal in the garden while we ate eggs and talked stars. When I was silent, inside words, waiting, I wanted no one with me. When they came by to listen, I had taken off into birdsong. In a way, I am, Anne, but now's not the time. Take a message. I thought the Hubble telescope could be visited like Rome. I want to know how long I have to not love myself. I watch murder mysteries to see blood proven real. The lake growing into sticky evidence around the head. These splatter angles that tell where the blows came from. One of my friends is John A. McDonald's only friend. One is a librarian and a mother. That's enough, that's plenty. Two friends built a boat and sailed around the world. One grew and climbed the beanstalk to study with Olson. If I'm talking about revision, but say invasion, they laugh and take my measure with a joking glance. They have lived alone on harsh islands where storms dismantle all pretension and every version of a song. My pulse is a snapping turtle, porcupine, a deer, its eyes lit, crossing and crossing too slowly a road at night. It keeps to its rhythm, it keeps to its tracks and hunger. We need to sing rowdy choruses out of tune together again. I want to know how long I have to love my friends. My blood sluices docile and suspect into vials. This small oak has kept its leaves with it all winter. The word for this, I can't remember just now. Oak, you keep your leaves. I forget words and talk to myself. We are of the same vantage. Forgetting words has begun to feel like saving them from the muck knowing is. And finally this, thank you for listening. It's pathetic, the lyrics I can't listen to anymore without singing along or weeping. To be laughed at for wearing a Bible story coat to school is enough to reduce me. Any drunken guitar player who never quite makes it big, any retired teacher who still loves the wide river, Don't even say towboats and slippery city shoes to me in the same breath, or I'll start. Any old dog that has to be shot by Walter Brennan as a boy, or Laura Smith building her boat in my backyard. Whenever someone in a poem says I turned away and wept, I have been quick to scoff. Now look at me. They aren't talking about today, these old songs. Toughly sentimental, they don't pander to our issues. Those who sang the original vinyl are long dead, and many who would listen and cry with me are dead. When I can't stand it anymore, the mendacity, the hypocrisy, the stupidity, and the inhumanity against us, I put these songs on, each chorus a part of me, a part of my discredited mythology. They floor me. Not as much as when I was drinking, thank the gods. Back then, each song was a ledge above a reservoir on fire. I recognize my rhythm here. I've said all this before. But each chorus shows how repetition is a healer. I used to rip jump into music, dancing, if you could call it dancing, that mosh bog rage. I was furious at the Pogues or Doug and the Slugs for being so right about me. These nights I sing along to Peggy Seeger's mother's age-old animal ballads for single banjo, as if defeated, yet clinging to that as if.
Thank you, Phil. I'd say the word that comes to mind would be incisive. That was great. So now, following Phil Hall, we do have a bit of music coming up after a 15-minute break. And I don't want to give anything away. I'll just say that it falls somewhere within the realm of doom metal and possibly shoegaze, somewhere in between those two genres, I believe. So if you want to take a break, get something to drink, chat amongst yourselves for the next 15 or so, please come back after that and enjoy some music.
And you just heard from the May 26th, third installment of a newer poetry music series envisioned and organized by Wanda Pramsma, called Driftline. And in that poetry portion of the event, you just heard readings by both Chris Turnbull and then Phil Hall. It is just turned 48 minutes after 4 o'clock. I'll tell you what, let's do this, and I'll be right back.
Folk Everything is your passport to the finest in folk music. Old, new, and everything in between. The wonderful, the wild, and the weird.
Walk quietly by, he won't bother you. He's a busy man, he's got things to do.
It's all here Saturdays from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. Folk Everything with Hugh on CFRC 101.9 FM in Kingston.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house.
Late in the 1970s, four Kingston women got together to discuss the idea of creating a community house, a place where grassroots organizations, families, and groups could gather, a place where food could be prepared and shared, new skills could be learned, and lively discussion could be encouraged. For over 30 years, Kingston Community House has provided low-cost meeting space for hundreds of groups, allowing people to come together to learn from one another, share resources, and trade skills. As it becomes safe once again to gather in person, we look forward to providing the Kingston community with a comfortable and convenient place to reconnect with one another. Located in downtown downtown Kingston, we operate 7 days a week. For more information on Kingston Community House and how to book, please visit kingstoncommunityhouse.org.
Friday evenings at 6 p.m. here on CFRC, listen to Saltwater Music, a show covering all musical genres from the East Coast of Canada. Celtic, of course, but also rock, jazz, blues, folk, and a lot more. I'm your host, Rob Carnell. Tune in to Saltwater Music Friday evening from 6 to 8 here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Or you can catch us on the web at www.cfrc.ca. And for our listeners out east, that's 7 p.m. in Atlantic and 7:30 in Newfoundland.
Domestic pets like dogs and cats are often left outside off-leash. These pets scare wildlife, destroy the nests of animals, and attack animals.
Always keep your pets on a leash when they are outside and discourage them from chasing wildlife.
This message was brought to you by the students of St. Marguerite Bourgeois Catholic School and Sandy Pines Wildlife Center.
And you again have been and are listening to Finding a Voice here on CFRC 101.9 FM. Again, we are located in Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario. My name is Bruce. I'm here every Friday afternoon from 4 to 6 o'clock. We do stream live online as well at www.cfrc.ca. We're getting relatively close to the end of the first hour, and first of all, I'd like to thank all of you out there for tuning in to this first hour today. And my thanks as well to Wanda Pramsma for envisioning and coordinating and organizing this really this new wonderful poetry music event begun just, 6 months ago, something like that. My thanks as well to Joshua Brennan for emceeing that event. And also to the poets Chris Turnbull and Phil Hall for their just wonderful readings that evening. I do hope you can stay tuned for the second hour of the show that will feature the musical portion of that event with performance by a trio, Foster, Shea, and Sudak, which is Christina Foster, Savannah Shea, and Anna Sudak. To get us there, though, I've got a few upcoming events. I think what I'm going to do is concentrate on some calls for submissions, but I will mention one event to start with. Let me find it here. Because I just found out today that it's, there's been an update to it. Let's see. Here we go. This is coming up actually next Monday evening. Quirks of Human Nature is and bills itself as poetry performed with improvised music, and that's exactly what it is. It's they're a featured poet, and will be this month. That reading will be Abby Miole, and Deb Sherman's is always on piano. I think maybe Ricky Brandt might be on guitar, but I'm not sure if that changed as well. It might be Abby on guitar as well. Bonus poets are Sue Public Cover. That didn't change, but I don't think I had announced that Selena Cirelli is the other bonus poet. Meg Freer organizes and MCs, and Deb Sherman's not only plays the piano, she also is a co-MC as well. And co-organizer as well, as I should mention that too. What I'm going to do, since we are crowding, it's hard to believe, I shouldn't say it, I'm going to make people upset, but we're really getting close to the middle of August already. How is that even possible? Anyway, the reason I've decided to share, because there really aren't any other events coming up next week that on my list, at least. But there are calls for submissions that are expiring this month, and I think I should share those. I think it's more important to do that. If there's still a couple of minutes at the end of this hour, I will jump back into some more events. But The first one I'll mention is a Summer Short Story Award for New Writers. That's with Master's Review. I'm just going to read from their website. Here at the Master's Review, summer is the season for short stories. Since 2016, our Summer Short Story Award for New Writers has paired emerging writers with some of the industry's top literary agents. And it says, I'm just going to give you the link. I should tell you the deadline. Deadline is Sunday, August 25th. So you've still got quite a bit of time to put something together. It's mastersreview.com/short story award for new writers. That should take you there. All the guidelines are there, and probably even how to submit is there as well. Another one coming up a day later, this one Monday, August 26th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And I'm going to read from their website as well. It's from Geist. It's a current call. And it does say that Geist is a magazine of ideas and culture with a strong literary focus and a sense of humor. Geist's tone is intelligent, plain-talking, inclusive, and offbeat. Each issue represents a convergence of fiction, nonfiction, poetry, photography, comics, reviews, little-known facts of interest, cartography, and the legendary Geist crossword puzzle. They want to publish emerging and established writers and artists across Canada. One thing they do say on their website is they would highly recommend that you check out their full, not only their full guidelines, but that you check out some previous issues to kind of get an idea of what they're looking for. Their website, www.geist, and that's GEIST.com/submissions/submit. And that should take you right to the page to get you everything you need to know. Another that expires in August, this one is Friday, August 30th. And it's just, it's the same monthly one I talk about here. If I'm announcing calls for submissions, you've heard this a number of times because it is a monthly award and call for submissions it's through the ARC, Poetry Magazine's Award of Awesomeness. And the deadline is always the last day of each month, and that's, again, why you hear it, me always talking about it. It is open to everyone. It says the prize is 50% of prize money raised and a rare vintage award item, and there's also a prompt. Anyway, the link for all of that information is ARC, and that's with a C, A-R-C, arcpoetry.ca/contest/ARC Award of Awesomeness. And again, Friday, August 30th. And one more, I'm going to do this one just because it is the next day, and it's September 1st. And what it is ARC Poetry again, but it is that their next reading period opens on September 1st. And just briefly, ARC Poetry has been publishing for over 40 years. It's open to all poets. These are things I've copied down from their website. They do accept unsolicited submissions of unpublished poetry or translations, any subject. They do have two reading periods per year. One is April 1st through July 31st. And again, this one that just opens and it runs September 1st, is just about ready to open on September 1st and runs through December 31st. And I will just briefly mention again, and I'll be talking about it a lot more. In fact, I will tell you that I believe next week's show will be from the Poets at Art Fest festival, 3-day festival that we just had on July 1st weekend. There was an anthology of the poets from 2023 was launched at the festival this year. That was the first thing that happened on the second day of the festival this year. I will be airing that. But the other thing I will be airing, and I'm mentioning that while I'm mentioning events and things like that. The other one is the one of the other things that will be featured on the show next week will be my interview with, Aaron McCauley, who is the artistic director of the Kingston Writers Fest. And I will be